Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 25. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. It is truly becoming a wonderful experience getting to know Monroeville. After the call from the church, our finding a house, our moving here, we've slowly but surely been exposed to more and more delightful discoveries about the people, the traditions, the pace of life, and the way things are done around here, and so forth. And what was hidden, at least to us newcomers, is now being revealed. But for the reveal, we had to answer the call. We had to move here. We had to make Monroeville our home. And although Monroeville has 30,000 visitors who pilgrimage here each year due to kill a mockingbird and, of course, to visit the grand old courthouse, visitors can truly only get a taste of Monroeville. Only a taste. But such outsiders never, ever get the life of Monroeville, the essence of the culture. Certainly not like those who have made it their own. Any Monroevillian, is that correct, Monroevillian? Any Monroevillian knows that Monroeville is not a perfect place. It's not. But what town is perfect? What town does not have its share of problems? But there is great good in this town. I've seen it. You've seen it. And we see it in the lives of our new neighbors, the lives of our new friends, neighborly love, the deep caring for one another. And we just don't, you know, keep this to ourselves. We don't stay quiet about our experience here either. It's not a secret that we want to keep. We love to tell folks about our new home. We talk about it all the time to people, sharing the many great things that we've discovered. Monroeville really is a wonderful place to live. And you find this out, truly, only living here. And as we tell people about it, we come to better understand the town as we tell our story. And we truly feel blessed to have a place here. Great blessings, experiences, loves, and truths are like that. They demand to be proclaimed. What is hidden from the outside must be made known. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is certainly no exception. However, sometimes, and oddly, we act as if the truth of the gospel remains hidden. Yet we live in a time when Jesus' identity and his mission have been explored in tremendous detail in millions of volumes and proclaimed in sermons, millions and millions of sermons in all sorts of ways. And we possess a Bible that none of Jesus' hearers ever saw. And today, rather than hidden, the truth of the gospel shines in full light, the light of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus reveals himself to his people, those he has called, those whom he has made his home with. And the truth, joy, and blessings of this reality demand to be proclaimed. Take a look again with me at verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" Now, what is Jesus referring to here? Well, he refers to the lamp. A more precise rendering from the Greek there in verse 21 is, "Does the lamp come so that it may be placed?" And lamp we see is a definite object. Jesus is speaking of a specific lamp. A specific lamp. And a lamp that comes for a purpose. And clearly that purpose is not to be placed underneath a basket or a bed. Lamps are to be placed where they can shine light, pushing back the darkness so that one may see the truth of one's surroundings. So the question is, who or what is the lamp that comes? Now, a major thrust in Jesus' teachings was that, well, his revealing of the kingdom of God. Indeed, his parables are specific in casting light upon the nature of the kingdom for those who have ears to hear, as we looked at last week and as Jesus calls out in this passage today. When Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom, he said the kingdom was at hand. Its immediacy was being made manifest. And we read about that in chapter 1, verse 15. And in Luke 17, verse 20 through 21, Jesus further proclaimed that the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There," for behold, the kingdom is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God was in their midst because they were in the very presence of Jesus. He was and is the embodiment of the kingdom of God, the reign and the rule of God. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus, the embodiment of the kingdom of God, tells this kingdom parable of the lamp. And he refers to a very specific lamp, having elsewhere claimed that he was the light of the world. Thus the lamp, we see, it was of course him. It was Jesus. Verse 22 helps to reinforce this interpretation. "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." The scriptures reveal that Jesus is the Messiah King, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Yet in his time, the Jews had some very specific ideas about the Messiah that really didn't match up with the reality. They expected the Messiah to come, to take up the throne of David, and in doing so, to conquer the enemies of the Jews with great power. They did not understand that the Messiah was the suffering servant spoken of in Isaiah, and that he must suffer and die in order to have victory. And such a notion was quite foreign to the image of a conquering hero king that they imagined. And Jesus knew this, and he realized that if his light shone too brightly, the fervor of the Jews might have led to God's plan for his son to suffer and die, being hindered. Hence, he intentionally kept from those outside his fellowship what is called the messianic secret. And we've seen this played out in this point in the Gospel of Mark, where he commanded the demons to shut their mouths, to tell no one that he was the Son of God when they called him the Son of God. We see the leper, too. Jesus heals a leper, and he tells him to go to the priest and do the right thing, but to tell no one, basically, about what he had done and what he had been revealed to him. Of course, we know the leper went and told people anyway. And the parables themselves, they were designed to keep the secret so that they were only indirectly revealed understood by those who were in his intimate circle, his disciples, the insiders. And then in Mark 9:9, we see after Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain, Jesus addresses his core disciples of the 12, the three, Peter, James, and John. This is what it says. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The disciples were to tell no one, but they would eventually proclaim Jesus to the world. However, for them, that time was not yet. In the meantime, the outsiders, deaf to the word of God, would unknowingly help the plan of God along, ultimately crucifying the Son of God. And this was God's intent. In verse 22 of Mark 4, it tells us that, like anything kept hidden or secret, Jesus' identity and mission would not stay hidden or secret forever. As Robert Stein puts it, upon his resurrection, Jesus will indeed be manifested and set on a lampstand through the witness of the church. For us, the time of hiddenness is long, long gone. We, Jesus' disciples, shine the light of Jesus into the dark world. We do this by proclaiming the gospel through our words and our lives. Jesus has come, and Jesus will come again. Now, if you are a disciple of Christ, how often do you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? How often do you share it? Are you constantly aware that there are those who do not know or understand that the need for salvation, the separation from God that only Jesus is the solution to as Savior? That need, do you understand and really know people who just desperately need Jesus? Are you on watch looking for an opportunity somewhere, somehow, to share Jesus with someone? And I know plenty of people who are like this. You know, perhaps this is you. Perhaps you're passionate about sharing the good news to the Lord. Or, do you never talk to anyone about Jesus except outside of a church setting? Now maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I'm never in a situation really where I might share Christ with someone. And maybe that's what you're saying. Really? Why is that? Why have you put your lamp under your bed? Why have you put yourself in a place where you can avoid the world? If you're not coming in contact with non-Christians, are you hiding from them for some reason? I mean, if this is you, perhaps you have all sorts of justifying reasons for why your situation is what it is there. You know, that's truly between you and the Lord, I would say, and His church, you know, as we tell you what the Word of God says and encourage you in that. But how do you justify to Jesus, scorned by the religious elite for spending his time with sinners, how do you justify to Jesus the neglect of your calling to share the gospel? The light of Christ is shining bright, and we must not hide his light by keeping our mouths shut. Take a look at 24 and 25 with me. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, how does this statement relate with what Jesus had just said concerning the light? Now, the measure is what one hears and understands. The word of the Lord. Jesus is talking about how people respond to the light. giving a promise and a warning. His words harmonize with that old maxim, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Knowledge and understanding of the truth begets knowledge and understanding. The actions of the holder of such wealth, actions that are the outworkings of understanding, develop an even broader and deeper understanding. And this understanding is not just some sort of static knowing. Rather, it cries out to find form in the world, to be used by Jesus' disciples in their faithful obedience, living in the light, following Him. And ignorance, it frankly has nothing with which to work, so there is no propagation. Any Bible study leader or teacher will understand this principle. Probably any teacher, for that matter, and I know we have a number of folks who are and have been teachers out there. He or she prepares for the class and works hard studying. For the Bible study teacher particularly, this means spending hours and hours in the Scripture and reading the insights of others about it and working on presentation of the lesson. And at the appointed time, the study takes place. And then, once it's over, everyone goes home. So once the study is over, who has received the most from the Word? Who understands it best? Who has likely taken the text deepest into their heart? Well, if you are or ever have been a Bible study leader or teacher, well, you know that that person is you. You and your proclamation of the truth, which you have heard and understood, have become richer in your understanding and has been added upon. But what can the ignorant teach? A person who knows Jesus, an insider, a disciple, has the gift of understanding from God. And over time, this understanding is enhanced with a better understanding of the Lord, His kingdom, His work, and what He expects of His followers. And this person's destination is to see Jesus face to face, to know Him in full as a citizen of His kingdom, living for Christ into eternity. Characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ, we share Jesus with others. We give witness to the truth of His grace. We spread the light of Christ. And this is kingdom work. Outsiders don't know Jesus. They just don't know. They cannot hear or understand the truth. So unless the Lord transforms them into good soil, receptive to the gospel, they will lose everything in the end. Thus, we must use the measure that we have been given and give ourselves over to kingdom work, which involves shining the light in the darkness. And how will outsiders hear the good news of Jesus Christ unless someone tells it to them? How? How can they believe unless they have heard? In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And the Scriptures command us, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." We are lights infused with the light of Christ. And so in our words and our deeds, we reach the world for Christ. And because the light of Jesus Christ has been revealed, we must be faithful in our witness. I encourage you, be deliberate. Be deliberate in your witness. Don't just make it an accidental happenstance. Be deliberate. Find someone that you know doesn't understand the gospel or hasn't heard it. Talk to them about it. Cast some seed in their life. Who knows, maybe the Lord has prepared the soil and that they may be receptive to that seed. Make a point of just putting it out there. And if you've got to change some things in your life in order to position yourself in such a way that you can be a witness for Christ to unbelievers, well, what are you waiting for? The lamp does not belong under a basket or a bed. Christ has come, and the light is shining. Don't hide His light. Tell others about Jesus. And because the light of Jesus Christ has been revealed, we must proclaim the gospel to the world.